join the Patreon to join the conversation. I have so many amazing guests on here that you're probably already following on Instagram or TikTok. So you might as well jump on here and talk to us, ask your very own questions, and you can get access to one-on-one coaching with me through the Patreon. Sign up. The link is in the show notes.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
A giraffe foot, we pull it right up to the top, and then we do the other foot. I'm just making that at the top of my head, but when we're, you know, using the same song for the same thing over and over, it can really help to cue the brain. It helps them to anticipate. They know what to expect. And, you know, as we know as well, when the brain is able to anticipate, it feels a lot safer. So they're already going to be more regulated when they're able to, yeah, anticipate what's going to happen. There's no unpredictability about it. They like, yep, I know what to do. I'm going to go and do it. And, you know, whether they sing it out loud or sing it in their head. I've found that across some of the work I've done as well, and even in my own personal experience with my eldest son too.
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to people who can help you on your parenting or teaching or even nannying journey. Today, I'm excited about the topic. I'm excited about the person. We have Monique here, who is a music therapist. She's going to tell us a little bit more about herself. But I love music. I have a lot to say on the matter. Probably not as much as Monique, but that's why I invited her in. But I will let her introduce herself. And then we're going to get started with the conversation.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. As you said, my name's Monique. I live in Australia, if you can't tell by my accent. I live in a small little beachside town just north of Brisbane, which is in the state of Queensland. And I live here with my fiance and our two kiddos. We've got a six-year-old and a six-month-old. So the last few months have been a bit of a whirlwind, getting used to sleep deprivation again. And as you said, I'm a registered music therapist here in Australia, and I've been practicing music therapy for over a decade now, which is crazy to think that it's been that long. And I've been, across that time, worked in a lot of different areas, but primarily in pediatrics or with kids. So I work at a children's hospital here in Brisbane and have been for the last 7 years, and across many different areas in the hospital, from infant care to rehabilitation, so working with kids with brain injuries and spinal cord injuries, to palliative care, oncology, cardiac, intensive care, so using music in lots of different areas of the hospital. And more recently, I've started back doing private practice. I am on maternity leave at the moment, but I have my own private practice where I work mainly with school-age kids and younger who have various disabilities such as autism or ADHD or an intellectual impairment, and using music to support them to reach different goals. I'm happy to share a bit more about what music therapy is as well, because I know a lot of people may not know exactly what it is. So if you're happy for me to share a bit about that.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my first question. And I'm sorry, it sounds like I pronounced your name wrong. It's Monique, right?
In Australia, it's more Monique, but I know in the US, it's Monique.
But we're going to say it the way that it is said for you in your name. So Monique, got it.
Monique. Yeah.
So tell us what does a music therapist do? Like, what is music therapy? What does it look like? What kind of results, you know, outcomes are you looking for? Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so music therapy falls under allied health, an allied health profession. So we fall under the same bracket as physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech pathology, social work, all of those other therapies. And we are a research-based profession, and all of the interventions and the strategies we use are all based on research and evidence-based. And it's, in a nutshell, it's using music in a therapeutic way to support people's well-being, and it can be across the age spectrum. helping them with either physical goals or communication goals, emotional, social goals. So we're really looking at using music to meet various needs and various goals. Whereas when you think of music education, it's teaching more music specific goals rather than more functional goals, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we do really harness that therapeutic relationship to really get the best out of someone. And we are trained through university. I did my master's degree in music therapy. So it is an actual course that we have to do, and a university degree that we have to do to be able to be registered as a music therapist. And we can work across so many different areas, from pediatrics, as I said, I work into disability work, mental health, aged care, working in hospitals or in the community, and across the age spectrum as well. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I guess it does differ. A lot of people say, oh, so do you just sort of play music to someone? And my answer is no. We might play music and it might look like we're having a fun time and a great time, but it's more about the outcomes we're looking at for a particular individual, and that is going to be different from person to person. We really need to assess that child or that adult as to what their goals are going to be in that setting.
Can you give me a specific example of what goals, and you can use, obviously don't use names, but like maybe someone that you're working with now or have in the past, you give us some specific examples of a goal that you would have or an outcome that you would have for a child and what you would do to help the child meet that goal?
Yeah, so one particular little guy that I worked with last year, and I worked with him up until I went on maternity leave, he was 4 years old. He had some speech and language delays. English was actually his second language, so that in itself posed a few challenges, I suppose, in terms of him being able to learn and speak English with the delays that he had, and also supporting his emotional regulation, because I guess there was a lot of frustration because he isn't able to verbally express himself. So a communication goal was a really huge one for him, and just supporting him in learning different sounds, different words. And actually he said his first word after being in music therapy, and that was mum, and his mum was just absolutely over the moon, because until then he'd just sort of been making sounds and things, but not any words. So some of the things that I did with him were creating songs around targeting different sounds. So, you know, mama, really those basic sounds that an infant would start with, but because he had a lot of oromotor issues, creating these sounds, we really just started off with the basics. So, you know, ba, ma, ga, ha, like all those moo. So doing animal songs and things where he could explore different sounds. So we started off with that, and then as he became a lot more confident and proficient in some of those sounds, we then started with one syllable sounds like mum, dad, dog, you know, those sorts of things. So really creating songs that were specific and working with the mum in particular, because she was the one that was mostly at the sessions with us, finding out, well, what words are really important for you guys to have him say. So it's really about working with the families, finding out what's important to them and what's going to help them be able to communicate with him a lot better. He did a little bit of sign language, so utilizing some of those things as well, where he's able to use gestures and signs to be able to communicate, and writing songs around that are going to target some of those things. And then social skills was another thing that his mum really was keen for him to become better at because of the language barrier and the speech barrier. So I wrote some songs just around how he could use even just single words to communicate. He really loved music and was really motivated by music. So it was easy in a way to be able to work with him, because he'd go home and I'd record these songs for the family, and they could use them in the home to keep practicing between therapy sessions, because obviously 1 hour a week it's such a short time in the grand scheme of things. So really encouraging parents to then go home, do some of those things that we do in therapy sessions to continue the work. And then with emotional regulation, he loved drumming. So drumming is a really great way for kids to be able to express themselves, to get out some of that energy, some of those frustrations. So we did a lot of drumming in our therapy sessions as well. And he did a lot of drumming at home. They had some drums at home. So just encouraging parents to utilize some of those things we know he loves. Rhythm is really, effective when it comes to regulation, because the brain loves predictability, and drumming and rhythm is really predictable. It's consistent, it's repetitive, and the brain really thrives off this. So we did a lot of rhythm-based strategies and things that, again, the parents could implement in the home environment to support his regulation and be able to support him if he was feeling frustrated and that type of thing.
Yeah, man, you said so much there. And, you know, it sparks a question that I have, that because I've seen the power of music firsthand. You were talking about sounds that you're trying to encourage a child to make. And I've seen that. One of the things that I do in my position when I go to classrooms, one of the first things I do is I sing songs almost no matter what the age group, whether it's an infant or whether they're, 11 or 12 years old. That's usually one of the first things I try to do, is try to sing a song. And it does hit so many goals. And I've seen, I don't know if you heard the song that I did on TikTok and Instagram, Tiny Tim, you're probably familiar with it. It's a classic song. Yeah. But I know that I would, me going into a classroom and singing that song, one of the sounds that they'd hear over and over, because at the end of the song, it goes, bubble, 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 pop. And, over time, I sing that song and I go in the room. I notice for toddlers, children who are just over the age of one and, barely starting to, just starting to say words, they would start to try to practice the sound too. And, especially whenever I came in the room where they saw me, they practiced the bub, 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 they would practice those sounds. My question to you is, why is music so effective and why is it so powerful? One of the things that I always say is that I've never met a human who doesn't like music. We all like music. Now we all like our different genres of music and maybe different volumes, and we like our music, we have our preferences, sure. But everyone likes music and it connects with everyone. And I want to know, why is music so powerful? Can you explain that to us?
I can get all nerdy now.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
So I guess firstly, music historically used to be seen as a right brain activity, which is more our creative, nonverbal, emotional brain. And until, probably maybe a couple of decades ago, when we really were able to start to do brain scans and see what's happening in the brain when different things are happening with the person, it wasn't known until then that it actually is a whole brain activity. So music stimulates and activates all areas of the brain at the one time, which is really incredible. And when you see these brain scans, when they compare it to, for example, someone just reading a book to someone engaging in a musical activity, the differences are phenomenal. So you can just see all areas of the brain lighting up like a Christmas tree, basically. It's like fireworks going off in the brain when we engage in music. And I guess some of the areas of the brain that it is activating are how some of our more primitive areas of the brain, like the brainstem and the cerebellum. So again, that's sort of where that regulation comes in. The brainstem's really looking at, you know, your breathing, your heart rate, all those vital functions of a human being. And music can really tap into that because of the rhythm. And again, that's that consistent beat that is happening, and we almost, well, we synchronize to it. Mm-hmm. When we hear a song, you know, you can feel your heart rate changing. If you're listening to something really amped up, you can feel your body getting really excited, and there's lots of things going in the brain, lots of chemicals being released as well, like dopamine and endorphins and adrenaline even. And when we listen to music that's a little bit calmer, that's sort of slower paced, that's generally the music we listen to when we want to help ourselves calm down a bit and relax. So there's lots of things happening in those more primitive areas in the nervous system as well. And then we move up to our sort of more emotional brain, our limbic system. And this is where things like memories and emotions. So music can be really powerful in stimulating those memory centers of the brain. And as you know, we remember, like I remember songs from when I was a teenager, which, you know, that's like 20 years ago. and you remember things word for word. And if not, you at least remember the melody or the chorus of a song.
How many commercials do we know, right?
Like, I remember ones from when I was a kid too.
I'm loving it, right? Like it's so true. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Those really catchy things that become an earworm, what they call it, when you play it over and over in your head. And that's why music's really great for marketing too. we remember it. It helps us to retain information as well as retrieve information and recall information. And that's why things like your ABCs, all those different songs that are helping kids learn that education. So songs about shapes, colours, numbers, all those sorts of things that are, they're only quite short, but they're memorable because they're catchy, they're repetitive, and our brain just soaks it up basically and remembers it and retrieves it, and it's stored in there until, you know, we need to then retrieve it again. I know my son, when he was in kindy, he learnt, that's pretty much how he learnt days of the week and months of the year, through song and the order things go in. And this is something I use a lot in therapy as well, particularly the work I've done with kids who have a brain injury, because, you know, different areas of their brain are injured because of that brain injury, and it can really be a powerful way for them to build new neural connections in their brain, because it's helping them to store new memories, and even things like remembering their name if they've forgotten really basic things from their life. It can be a really powerful way for them to remember phone numbers, names of different people in their family, and that type of thing. And then obviously emotion, we know, like without even the science behind it, I'm sure you can think of songs that give you all those feels that you recall from a certain time in your life, and you really have, well, mostly fond memories, but, you know, you might not have great memories about particular songs because it reminds you of something and you have that association. And melody is a really big reason why we have that emotional connection to music. So there's so many different elements that make up music, and melody is one of those big ones that kind of gives us all those feels. The hairs at the back of our neck stand up because of the melody and how our brain perceives that, and it's stimulating those areas of the brain. And then when we move up to the top area of our brain, so like our prefrontal cortex and those areas of the brain, so language, impulse control, all those executive functions where music is stimulating those areas of the brain. Obviously speech and language is one which we've spoken about, and music can really support things like impulse control for kids. So using, for example, I'll use a drum again just because it's something I use quite a lot. Kids can get really into drumming, and it can be hard to stop sometimes, so it's a great one to be able to do some stop and go games with, and some of that working memory as well. So getting them to repeat different rhythms and making them more complex, so it's challenging them and helping to support some of those more working memory. And then, I mean, obviously we hear music, so our auditory centres are being stimulated and activated as well, and also our visual centres. So whether we're engaging in music with someone, you know, you're seeing what's happening in front of you, whether you're reading music, if you're playing an instrument, you've got that visual sense being activated as well. So that's some of the areas, and I'm sure there's more I'll probably miss, but the main parts that are all being stimulated across both hemispheres, and then, you know, from those more primitive areas up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm going to go to, I want to talk about how to, you know, use music, and I want to talk about emotional regulation. And then I want to jump into the question that one of the community members asked. But first, before I'd like to go there, I'd also like to just touch on something else you said about music and something, just anyone out there listening, if that you're trying to, you know, get your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old, maybe not 2, I would wait till 3. The 3, but you could probably even do it at 2, depending on the name. But 3 and 4, like without fail, if you're trying to help them learn how to, you know, spell their name, and, you know, maybe they haven't quite identified letters, or even just identified letters, you can make a name song out of their name. And yeah, they may not be able to still identify all those letters, but you've opened up. Now they know their name song that they can sing, and you can show them as you point to the different letters. And now they are making that connection between, oh, you know, my name, it starts with B, and that's my name. And they're identifying and making that connection. That can be a good way to kind of open it in a fun way, because people ask all the time, well, how do I teach this? Or like, I'm doing, you know, school at home, and like, how do I teach? And a lot of times, you know, especially parents who are for the first time trying to teach their young children different concepts. And a lot of times they will start off like, okay, we're going to sit down and I'm going to teach it to you. I'm going to give you information and you're going to have it and you're going to run with it. But what ends up happening is they lose their attention very quickly, and they, you know, run away, or they're doing something else. The song is such a natural, fun way. You don't even really have to be doing. I remember, you know, I would just, if there was a concept that I wanted to teach to my, you know, to my class, or a name song or anything, I would do the song. Either I would pull the song from the internet, or I would make up my own song. And then I would just sing it. No pressure. Sometimes I would sing it to them and with them, but then I'd also sing it around them, you know, without pressure. And even if they're playing with Legos, or they're doing something else, like, they're still listening and it's still catching their attention stress-free. Mm-hmm. And then when you bring it up later, when you bring up, you know, maybe you're singing the water cycle song and it's fun, and then you bring up the water cycle, they have a frame of reference. It's not like you're not telling them, you're not giving them so much new information. And so they're a little bit more receptive to it. And they connect with it more too, especially if they like the song, that it creates an emotional connection to the song, which creates a connection to the topic, the water cycle, or the leaves changing, or whatever it is. And so now when you're talking about it, they're all ears, and they're all ears and all eyes, and they're, you know, they're fascinated, as opposed to trying to go into a topic cold and say like, okay, so this is the water cycle. It rains, and that's called precipitation. And then it goes, like, you're going to lose them, right? As opposed to you're singing a song, and then, you know, you're bringing them that way. Now my question is, so tell us a little bit more, I guess not a question, but tell us a little bit more about how to help children, you know, regulate emotionally. How can we use music to help our children regulate? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's different strategies you can obviously use, but and it's such an important topic in this current climate, and I think just in this day and age, we live in this information age where everyone, but, you know, particularly our kids, where their brains are still developing, they're so almost overexposed to sensory stimulation, and it almost becomes this overstimulation that is happening in their everyday lives because of you know, technology is a big one that we can blame, but we have such a more fast-paced lifestyle now compared to when I was a child and prior to that as well, that, you know, our kids' brains are becoming so overstimulated and we're almost at a rest state, overstimulated anyway because of our environment. And our brains just weren't really designed to have so much stimulation just at us constantly. And I guess that's why we're really seeing an increase in kids with anxiety and ADHD and lots of other different things now because, you know, their brains just aren't coping with all the stimulation in the environment. And music, as I mentioned, is repetitive. It has a structure. It's patterned. So anything that is going to support this, so any sort of music-based strategy that is repetitive, that is rhythmical, that is founded on this pattern and structure, is going to really help to support our kids' brains to come back to a more regulated state. And this is regardless of whether your child might have a diagnosis of anxiety or ADHD or the like, or they just have difficulty winding down at the end of the day, or are prone to having meltdowns and how to support tantrums. So I always say that the best way to support regulation is not to wait until things boil over and things become a bit out of control and the meltdown is in full thrust. The best way is to almost help to maintain regulation. And we do this by weaving music-based activities throughout the day. And that's going to help support the brain to cope better. That's going to help the sensory systems and the nervous system to be calmer and more regulated. And things like drumming can be really helpful. Movement is huge as well. It helps children to not only get that energy out, but when we add music to it, something that has a really good beat, again, we're synchronizing to that beat. We're starting to breathe to that beat, to that music, to get that energy out. And doing with movement, doing activities and actions like big stomps, so things that are supporting the proprioceptive system, stomping, jumping, and vestibular systems, so things like spinning. You know, if I'm dancing with my eldest, you know, sometimes he might jump up on me and we'll spin around together, I'll throw him upside down when we've got music on. The things that are going to really help to regulate the sensory and the nervous system as well. But when we add that element of music, it's going to have a longer lasting effect than if we just were doing movement without any musical element to it. So having that constant beat is, again, tapping into our brain, into our brainstem, and that consistent, predictable, almost cueing of the brain. It's helping it to regulate and helping it to sustain that regulation for longer periods of time than if you didn't have music. Singing is also a really powerful way to support regulation. When we sing, it activates our vagus nerve, which is kind of one of the cranial nerves that runs from, you know, the top of our brain there, and it goes all the way down through the back of our throat and further down into our body. And when we sing, particularly when we're sustaining a note or singing for phrases, it's going to activate that vagus nerve, and that then helps to calm. It almost sends like a wave of relaxation throughout our body. It helps to slow our heart rate down, to slow our breathing down, and all of that. So singing can be a really powerful way. Singing also, we naturally extend our out breath when we sing instead of when we talk. We take a breath every, you know, couple of seconds, or, you know, but when we sing, we're slowing our breathing down, which again is going to help calm our nervous system down as well. So there's lots of different ways that we can implement music throughout the day, and it only has to be for a few minutes at a time. You don't have to sit down and do a 20-minute music session. Yeah. You know, you can start the day putting on some music, and we naturally want to move to music, and that's something I didn't mention before, but we naturally want to move to music when we hear a piece of music, particularly if it's something that's upbeat, that sort of faster pace, gets us our body moving. And so those movement centres are being stimulated as well. So you can start the day with some music to sort of get that energy going and do little bits throughout the day every 2 or 3 hours. And I know a lot of kids and a lot of parents I speak to, they already are using music to help wind down at the end of the day, particularly when it comes around bedtime routines and rituals and things. So just thinking about how you can weave music into your day, that's going to help to support your child's regulation, and also how you can use it to, and it also is really helpful to, in supporting different things throughout the day, like transitions and daily tasks and things as well, which I know that you've, I've seen some of your videos and like, oh, hadn't thought of that song and put it in the memory bank for next time. So yeah, there's ways that, yeah, that are going to help maintain that regulation, but things when we know might be a little bit more challenging with our kids, how we can use it to help reduce the likelihood of maybe a tantrum happening. Like if you know, I know with my son, brushing teeth has always been a big one for us over the years. Brushing teeth song that, you know, we don't necessarily need to use it all the time now, but sometimes he'll ask now because it's something we've used for so long. He'll be like, hey, can we do that song or put that song on while I brush my teeth? So, you know, are going to be a little bit more challenging. Think of how you can use music in a way that's going to help to maintain that regulation, help things from escalating, rather than waiting to the moment where, oh crap, everything's escalated now, we're in crisis mode, and now I can't, you know, it's really difficult to then be able to implement strategies, because we know that when kids and adults, everyone, when we're in this crisis mode where our brain is overstimulated or we're having a meltdown or a tantrum, the front part of our brain, our prefrontal cortex, shuts down temporarily. So it goes offline, and our ability to reason with our kids, even our ability for them to speak. And that's why, you know, I think I've heard you say before, you know, when we say, you know, use your words or what's up, they can't, because that part of their brain's offline at that point in time. So we really need to bring them down, help them to regulate before we go into that conversation. That's kind of going off on another little topic, but.
Yeah, no, and I think about music in terms of like for the transitions, for the emotional regulation, for just, you know, even subverting a meltdown. It's a tool, right? I don't see it as something that necessarily has to be used all the time for everyone, but it's a very nice tool to have in your tool belt, in addition to many other tools. And it is, so I'm going to kind of tell, like, well, it's not really a story, but I will often, sometimes I'll like walk by a classroom and there is such thing as, you know, positive and negative climate. Negative climate is like when you go into the room and you can feel just like negative energy in the room. And I don't think that we talk enough about energy. I don't think that I'm going to start talking about it more because I feel like it's not talked about enough. But there's such thing as positive and negative climate, right? And you can, you can feel the energy in the classroom. And there might be some symptoms like crying or hitting or pushing. And then there's also such thing as positive climate too. That's kind of when there's like a healthy buzz happening in the room. It's not quiet, but there's like a healthy buzz buzzing along in the room. People are generally kind of getting along, doing their thing, playing, having fun, you know. And sometimes I will walk by a classroom, or sometimes walk into a classroom, giving a bathroom break, and there's a negative climate in the room. And I can feel it, and the children can feel it. And I have options, right? I could go and talk to like the individual children that seem to have a hard time, seem to be having a hard time, or I can try to reset the dysregulation. I try to reset the regulation for the room. So what tool do I use to kind of just reset everyone? I use music. And so that's one of the times I'll come in and I'll start off like, and everyone's kind of like looking, like they kind of like, they're so like, and I'm like, ah, and they're kind of like, at least kind of have their attention. And then I had a tiny turtle, and his name was, and they're like, oh, it's my jam. And they'll come on over and they're instantly drawn in. Like, I tell you, like, it is almost, it's the power that I have is almost, it's almost, you know, disturbing. It's almost like, I almost feel like a puppet master because I literally have them, you know, eating out the palm of my hand. Like, I'm controlling what they're doing, moving, stopping, jumping, turning around, spinning, sitting, you know, whatever it is. But it is not immediately when I, for the first time, I'm like, I meet a group of children and I start singing the song. They're like, at best, they're all up and staring and looking at me. Maybe there's like the one or two, you know, children in the classroom who are super outgoing, or maybe they've heard the song and they might hop around a little bit, but at best, they're all kind of looking and staring. And, you know, it's that predictability that you're talking about, right? Like, they don't, it's new to them. So they don't necessarily know what to, they don't necessarily know what to expect. They hear the consistent like melody, maybe it's a rhyming song. And so like, you know, but it is, but over time, and I even see it, or I even see this constantly on the recent like TikTok and Instagram videos of me singing Tiny Tim or Herman the Worm or Slippery Fish. And there's so many comments, and anyone out there listening, like, check me on it, go to the video. There's so many comments that say, you know, my child just kind of stared at first, but by the third time he was jamming, he was doing the motions, and they were, you know, they're doing it with you. And, you know, it's that predictability that, you know, that you were talking about, but then also that it hits all the other developmental domains, you know, that they're moving around. And so I started telling this story to say that it is, music is such a powerful tool to use. And if it's not a tool in your tool belt, I would suggest that you know, find, you know, go on YouTube. I'm actually starting to put out some songs on YouTube of me singing like some classic songs that like all of my kids just love and just really connect with, like Tried and True. But you can go on other YouTube channels. You can go to my TikTok and my Instagram, and, you know, you can learn some of these songs and use it for things like, you know, brushing teeth, for things like transition. And a lot of times, as so even for things like, you know, cleaning up, yeah, you could do like a cleanup song, and I will sometimes do cleanup songs too, but a lot of times it's just as effective just singing a song. It's just effective. And as you were talking about earlier, in terms of like going to do, I have to tell one more story and then I'm going to answer Tiffany's question. This kind of goes from back in the day when I was a fresh young teacher, just learning the ropes, making mistakes all the time, every day, constantly. I still make mistakes, but I look back and I'm like, wow, like I made so many mistakes. But that was, it's the learning process, right? You're supposed to. So anyways, we were transitioning to come in from outside, and I know like transitions, like kids, when you transition a group of 3, 4, 5 year olds, and you tell them to do a thing, you go in a room and tell them to do a thing, they're not all going to just do the thing, right? Especially it's, you know, it's 3-step directions that we were giving. They were coming in from outside, you know, take off your jacket, wash your hands, sit down at the table. Those are the 3 instructions. So I was standing by the door. As a reminder, like, take off your jacket, wash your hands, sit down at the table. Take off your jacket, wash your hands, sit down at the table. Take off your jacket, wash your hands, sit down at the table. And someone took me aside. I think it was my district director at the time. She took me aside. Actually, she didn't take me aside. It was, she told my director, who then took me aside and said, you know, we heard you transitioning, and you know, it might be because of your male voice, but it sounded a little like harsh. You're giving too many directives. We're telling them, you know, to wash your hands, you know, or take off your jacket, wash your hands, and sit down at the table. You know, there's a better way. What about like singing a song or something? And at this point in my career, I think this was my first year. I was like, singing a song, like, You want me to sing a song? Like, okay, like I'll sing a song, whatever. Completely not thinking like anything of it. Like these, oh my goodness, like these, and I don't know if this is what I was thinking, but like it might have been, I was like, these like women, and like this is not gonna work. Like they know what I'm saying, right? And so I tried it, I tried it just to say that I tried it, right? And so sing directions, but I sang it. You know, hang your jacket up, then you wash your hands, sit at the table so we can have some lunch. Take your jacket off, then you wash your hands, sit at the table so we can have some lunch. Completely just made it up on the spot, like sang it. All right, just so I could say, look, I did it and it didn't work. But amazingly, and like to my surprise, like they were so much more responsive to me singing the direction. And honestly, I felt so much better about it too. Like I didn't feel like super frustrated, like constantly repeating myself when, you know, I told you, wash your hands, hang your jacket up. I'm singing it. And that might've helped me regulate. Me singing it might've helped me regulate. So it actually changed, you know, my tone and everything that I was singing, but I felt different. The energy in me felt different, but also they were listening to it more and they responded so much better just from singing the same direction. And from that point on, I'm like, okay, I'm sold. You got me. And I really started using like music in the classroom all the time, in the classroom, outside. I use it for so much. And so even just for remembering that transition, and it helps for long-term too, like the next day transitioning too, especially if you're singing that same song over and over and over again. Now when they come in, they hear your voice. It's like, it's their inner voice now. Hang your jacket up, then you wash your hands. And I'm having to do less. It's a much more of a pleasant interaction for everyone. Both of our needs are getting met, hands are being washed. And to that point, then came when I learned the hand washing song, and I'm like, man, these kids really need to learn how to wash. And this was way pre-pandemic. These kids really need to learn how to wash their hands. That's when I didn't make it up, but I learned it from someone else, from another teacher. The top and bottom, in between, wash them all around, now they're clean, that once I learned that song and I started teaching it to children, it worked wonders. And, you know, when I have a classroom and I teach them that song and that's the song that they sing and we sing, I promise you, my three-year-olds, and not just my three-year-olds, because I have since in my position have taught this to all of, you know, the teachers and like, so all my schools use this song. And these three-year-olds, when we're consistent about it, these 3 and 4 and 5 year olds wash their hands better than most adults.
Yeah.
I'm in public restrooms. You know, I've been in many, many public restrooms, and I like, it really disturbs me to like see people not wash their hands and not wash their hands properly and just get like, man, I need to teach them the hand washing song. Like and even me for myself, and not even just for me, when I do trainings and I teach it and I sing it, me for myself and also other adults who hear it, they, you know, when I'm washing my hands, I hear that song. I can't not hear it. And it reminds me to, you know, make sure that I get all parts of my hands and all that good stuff.
It's embedded in your memory now. Also with kids, it helps them to cues the brain when we're, you know, using the same song for the same thing over and over. It can really help to cue the brain. It helps them to anticipate. They know what to expect. And, you know, as we know as well, when the brain is able to anticipate, it feels a lot safer. So they're already going to be more regulated when they're able to feel safe, when they're able to anticipate what's going to happen. There's no unpredictability about it. They're like, yep, I know what to do, I'm going to go and do it. And, you know, whether they sing it out loud or sing it in their head, I've found that across some of the work I've done as well, and even in my own personal experience with my eldest son too.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the question from my community member, and anyone else out there, feel free to ask the question or ask a question. I'm going to ask the question. Oh, and I lost it, of course. And I found it. So here's the question. I would love to know how I can better support my three-year-old on bilateral coordination. I've been trying to encourage independent dressing, and I've noticed how he only uses one hand at a time and winds up being frustrated. Please help. What are your thoughts on that, Monique? I need a song to remember.
Firstly, I'll give you two strategies. So firstly, if you've got any instruments or drums or things, doing anything that's going to use both of his hands, alternating both of his hands, that's going to really help with bilateral coordination. If you don't have any drums, I mean, you can just use tubs, a bench top, but even doing things with your hands, so some hand games and little songs that you can do with it, so you and him can do together. Crossing the midline is really helpful as well, as it is using both sides of the brain. And if he's obviously, for example, if he's only using and side of the brain that's being activated because it crosses over. So we're wanting to do things using both hands with musical play that can be really helpful in helping with that coordination. An example that I give with clapping games, I'm not sure if you would know this over in the US, but I'll sing it anyway. It's called A Sailor Went to Sea. Have you heard of that one?
No. So I guess we have to share it now.
I have to share it. So it goes, a sailor went to sea, to see what he could see, and all that he could see was the bottom of the deep blue sea. Fairly simple.
I don't like that. I like that.
You can use any song though, but that's just what I use. And so with clapping games, I mean, it's a shame I don't have a person to do it with, but you can just clap on each beat. So for example, you'd be crossing over your hands. So you can just go, because he's three, just do something really simple. You don't have to make it complicated. It's just going clap across, and he's doing his opposite hands. A sailor went to sea, to see what he could see, and all that he could see was the bottom of the deep blue sea. Really simple. Again, if you have any other little songs like that, you can do the exact same hand movement, and you can do it on if you've got two drums or two tubs, you can do the same thing on that. You'd just be clapping and crossing over your hands on the drums instead of using someone else's hands to do that movement. But basically anything that's going to be utilizing both of his hands, if you've got a drumstick and a drum, using one hand to drum and then swapping over and using the other hand. So anything that's going to get both upper limbs, both arms and hands moving, is really going to help with coordination. So that's one thing you can try if you've got anything else at home that you can use. But if not, a tub or bench top, or using your own hands in that scenario. You can just listen to music and do these things, but sometimes when you're using a song and it's that sort of short, repetitive song, can really be helpful as well for kids. And then secondly, you can make up a song, like we were just talking about, make up a song around dressing yourself. And I'm just trying to think of something I can think of at the top of my head. Depending on what hand he's using, you can say, I'm just trying to think how you would get dressed with one, using mainly one hand, but saying we put both hands on our shorts and we put it over our foot, we pull it right up to the top, and then we do the other foot I'm just making that up the top of my head, but
that was good. And that was good.
Hands on your shorts, we put it over our foot, we pull it all the way to the top, and now our shorts are on, let's do our shirt now, and that type of thing. Same with socks, you can do it with socks, any sort of clothing, and just encouraging him to use both of his hands for things that need both hands particularly, which are mainly going to be everything. It's really hard to get dressed, so I can understand why he's getting frustrated trying to do that. So there are two things I would try, doing some things that are really focusing on just practicing coordination using both sides, and then making up a little song around getting dressed as well. And I'm sure there's plenty on YouTube and things as well that you can look up, but making it more specific for them is going to be really helpful as well. Yeah, hopefully that helps.
Yeah, there's this one finger play, and I'm going to butcher it, and someone out there probably knows it better than I do. I haven't done this in a long time, but this is the what you're talking about reminded me of it, and it'd be something that I think would help. And it's called, I don't know what it's called. I think it's called Johnny Whoop. But it goes like Johnny Whoop, Johnny Whoop, Johnny Whoop, 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 Johnny Whoop, Johnny Whoop, Johnny Whoop, Whoop, Whoop. And I forget exactly, that might not even be how it goes, but, and the people listening can't see me, but you know, it's just, they have to move up and down with one finger, up and down, and then they have to tap on the top of their fingers. Mm. It sounds like something else that would, there's a whole song that goes with it that would help. And I also made another song to help children that really, and I completely just made this song up, but I'm going to perform it. I feel like the last like 7 minutes of this session should just be us singing songs back and forth. So I'm gonna go, I gotta get up for this one, because this one is one that requires me to move around a lot. And so I made this one up, but I think this could be one out there, Tiffany, and really anyone to help with bilateral coordination, just coordination in general, and all the other things that music provides. So here it goes. First thing I do, I'm gonna do like the kid version. You guys ready? So everyone, show me your hands, wiggle your fingers. You know, just get their attention a little bit. Okay, all right. Now you guys are gonna do exactly what I do. We're gonna start off slow, and then we're gonna go faster. Okay, let's see, let's see. Clap, 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 clap. Stomp, 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 stomp. Jump, 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 jump. Jump, jump, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. Shake your hips, shake your hips, shake your hips, shake your hips. Now freeze. That is the homeschool shuffle. Even faster. Clap, 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 clap. Stomp.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?